Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You wanna be down with the kids?
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Sean Mapes in for RJ this morning. RJ's got to work all weekend long, so he got the day off.
Do we have tournament here? It's not tournament that he's working, right? Tournament games? It's just working?
Yeah, there's remote bullpens, so there's more producers that have to work.
Tell John what the bullpen is. John doesn't know what
I know what it is. It's all the producers get together and they do a show.
It's what you use to try to bolster your starting pitching roster.
No.
What the hell's wrong with you?
No, our bullpen is different, okay? It's all the producers
getting
together.
Where all the biggest Texans fans go, and they sit together, and they make a lot of noise banging on the end zone.
Trash cans?
You know, the stuff. Well, not trash cans. The padding, and it makes it hard, and it's still one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL right now. NRG Stadium.
NRG?
It is loud. When they're pumping in the music real loud. I mean, the noise real loud. Yeah, when they're pumping it in.
Yeah.
No, bullpen is a show. John actually got that right. Bullpen's
John,
a show.
John knows. He's heard it. Have you heard it?
I've heard preparation
I
for
hear,
it. I've heard prepping and planning in the bullpen area out there.
Seems to me Brian talks a lot.
Oh, he's already starting something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
I mean, he's the host. He does his John Granato impression.
He's the host of it?
On Sundays.
Yeah, he's a senior statesman.
Okay, that's why. Well, he brings it in and out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He does all that stuff. Yeah.
You're already trying to start something.
I'm not trying to start something. It just seemed to me
that Brian talks a lot. How's that make you feel, Sean?
I know.
Feels like he's the star of the show, Sean.
So you're a color commentator and he's the play-by-play guy? That's how it's
yes.
working?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just, yeah. No, I listened to it.
Well, RJ's on, too.
Oh, I got a lot of interest
so
in the
now
station.
We're acting maybe. Like RJ's not on the show? Is he just producing
the RJ's
show?
RJ's on the show.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, not surprisingly, RJ doesn't talk nearly as much as the other guys. Okay? RJ is a quiet
dude. This is a big chance for RJ. Well, RJ's a quiet dude on our show.
No, he's a quiet dude, period.
How much is he talking on the bullpen show, Sean?
I think when he's in, because last week he wasn't in. They moved him to Saturday, so he kind of gets moved around a little bit. But he, I don't know. When he's in, it's pretty 50-50 between he and I.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
You
I mean,
just
but
listen
like
to the
John
show where
said,
he wasn't on, and you're like, RJ's not talking at all.
No, you talk a lot during Paul's show. I mean,
yeah,
you'll interject.
Well, that's one host, too.
No, and Andrew, he'll interject quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, not so much. Joe George.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. As far as on the shows they produce, yeah.
Yeah,
RJ
the shows
talks.
They produce. Well, and
really,
RJ doesn't interject
really
at all.
You really do listen to the show.
I listen to everything.
And you listen to the shows, and you're always, like, that's how you're always fading everything that Jeremy Branham says.
Well.
You're a Jeremy Branham
fan. Guess what? Jeremy and I are going to do the draft show on draft night.
Are
Thursday.
You really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this could be a. Just a show
could
full
be,
of fades.
Oh, it could be extremely exciting.
I know.
Okay, we'll see because I will bring up some of Jeremy's past discretions
on a draft show.
On the draft show,
you're
I don't
gonna
care.
Bring up Astros stuff?
I don't care because there will be a lot of dead time to fill. I mean, you got 10 minutes in between. Stupid
I'm gonna
picks.
Forward you the NFL. They're gonna give me a digital version of the draft book that they put together, the binder on all these guys. So I'll just forward that to you for you to. Have at the ready,
or I could just have your breakdowns of all the guys, and then so
well,
I'll be preeminent that night.
Yeah, that's true.
You
that's
know what
true.
I want.
You know
be...
what they've got me doing this year? I did this the first 3 years, and then the last 3 years I haven't, or maybe first 4 years. I'm actually going to be doing analysis of every pick. I'm not in the entire time, but a lot of the times, especially on Friday and Saturday, I'll be on NFL Plus, their new streaming platform, doing analysis of every pick.
Every pick.
Which it used to be no problem for me, but now recalling all the different players because of all the players I've put in my head over the years, it's a lot harder to remember. It used to be, okay, it's sixth round. Here's the, you know, the 27th pick of the sixth round. They'd say a name. I don't have anything in front of me. I'm immediately telling you strengths, weaknesses, interesting details about this player. I knew them all in my head. Now it's like you ask me about, hey, who's that guy you looked at yesterday? I could say, what is the deal on him? Why did I give him a 5.83?
Just go, you know, he's got great hips.
Yeah. I know this is a guy, he's from Campbell, defensive end. Like I'm literally just repeating what's on the screen. He's a defensive end. His name is Brevin Allen. He's from Campbell. He's obviously, as you see here, a defensive end. As you see here, well, we don't no tape on him. There's no B-roll. I'll be like, oh, no. He's got good size, you know, good hands at the point of attack. Really, you know, played on a lower level of competition. So, obviously, that's a big step up in competition. He's a guy with some upside. Right. There you go.
There you go.
I haven't even seen him yet. I got to ride him today. I haven't seen him. But I can make it sound like I've watched him.
Yeah. No.
You just hit some buzzwords.
That's it. That's all you got to do. Oh, you could. That's easy.
By the way.
I could probably do it with buzzwords.
Dan Orlovsky saw Daniel Jeremiah at the pro day for Alabama, I think, the day before. Maybe at Ohio State. And he's like, hey, like, he's not. He said, hey, Anthony Richardson's not wildly inaccurate, right? Because he's the one that said, where's this inaccuracy I keep hearing about? When he watched one throw, Dan Orlovsky made a whole video about it. And DJ said, look, he said, you can find some throws on tape where you say, oh, my gosh, this guy's got the best arm talent I've ever seen. And it,
well, so goes, wait a minute, Dan Orlovsky, no, he didn't just look at one play.
He had to have looked at more, but he spotlighted one.
I know he did.
You know
I saw his tweet about it and everything about it. But you can't tell me that the dude said he's not wildly inaccurate and didn't watch tape of him.
He must have. I said.
I saw three Florida games last year, and I knew. You can't watch Anthony Richardson for any amount of time and say he's accurate.
Well, that's why my tweet that I retweeted, I'm like, this is very strange that a quarterback is saying this, especially one who I know puts time into what he's doing.
Yeah.
There's no way he didn't watch tape, and there's no way you can't see that. And DJ said, look, you can see, which tells me he didn't see a ton of throws. He was probably watching some stuff before he went on the TV show and wanted to have, you know, a quick take on it. And that's what his take was. And he put it on Twitter as well. And he knew he'd get a lot of likes and people would be very friendly to him and happy with it. But the fact that it's just wildly inaccurate. His take is wildly inaccurate. And he asked Daniel Jeremiah, like, hey, he's not wildly inaccurate, is he? Mm-mm. And Daniel said, well, there's some throws that you're going to really like and that are you going to say, man. And they're clearly NFL. He goes, but then, Dan, there's some throws that are just egregious. His misses are egregious.
No,
where he's skipping bubble screens.
We can't use the word egregious unless we're talking about the Astros cheating.
Yeah, no.
That's the only time now. It's like bodacious. There's only one thing for bodacious.
You know, that is such a generational thing that I don't think that
You don't think this generation?
I don't think a 24-year-old knows what you use bodacious with. I do. Immediately when you say that.
Okay, Sean, do you know?
No, Sean's not going to know.
Sean's
not going to know.
If I say
Sean, how old are you?
26.
He's not.
If I say bodacious, what is the next word that comes with it?
Bodacious barbecue?
No, it's not barbecue.
Watch this. 713-780-3776.
If you say bodacious.
No, don't say anything.
What's the next word?
What's the next word that comes after bodacious or set of words? 713.
Yeah, well, it's a slang, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just, you know, you have to say anything else.
Right.
We'll show you. It's generational. 20-year-olds won't know it. Anyone over 40 will know it. 713-780-3776. That's a little weird that, like, how did that
Sean.
How did that not make it through the, like, how did it stop?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, my kids would not, it's not something you hear on TV. Maybe it's because society has changed. But how does that phrase,
I don't know.
How does that just stop dead?
Well, how does it get started that's, and everybody knew it. I mean, I grew up in Chicago. You grew up here, and you knew it.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
There was no internet.
Right.
There was no – you just knew. Look at John.
Rob, what comes after bodacious?
Hey, John, Lance, good morning. Everyone over the age of 40 knows that's Tatas.
Tatas. Tatas. Bodacious tatas.
It's bodacious set of tatas.
No, it's just bodacious tatas.
Well, here in Texas, what we learned it as kids in junior high,
well,
we learned it as bodacious set of tatas.
Yeah, well, we just learned bodacious tatas.
Yeah. In Texas, we had the full, you know, you guys cut it short because it's cold there.
Was it?
And so you don't want to say
as
many words.
Was it an officer and a gentleman?
I don't know.
It's what Childish Altuve said.
Maybe it was. Maybe that's
I don't know. Was it?
Maybe that's how it entered
maybe
the lexicon.
That's it, maybe.
I didn't watch An Officer and a Gentleman.
You didn't see that? Richard Gere?
I've seen some of it, but
Deborah
I was...
Deborah Winger?
At the time when I was growing up, no, I knew Bodacious Set of Tatas before I ever would
it's
have watched
it. It's not Set of. It's Bodacious Tatas, period. And, you know...
In Texas, it's Bodacious Set of Tatas. No. Same thing that you don't know about giving people pumps on bikes.
Oh, please don't ever say that again. Why did you tell Dell to come get his mans last night?
Why don't you tell? So I had to tell Dell to come get his mans, and his mans is John Granato. Tell people what you said.
What did I say? I didn't say anything, did I? What?
You couldn't have been drinking. It's Lent.
No, it wasn't.
What? Why are you laughing now?
Because I tweeted out last night, Kansas State's coach's nickname has to be Poon, right? Has to be.
What's his last name?
Tang. I mean when he was growing up, his nickname, if you hung out with any guys.
Coach Tang. What is his nick? What
his
do you
nickname
think his nickname
has
is?
To be Poon.
I mean, this segment, I was listening to something that said, when you become
Now,
a,
Sean, you do know what Poon is, right?
Oh, yeah, I got that one.
Okay. I didn't know if that was generational.
I cannot believe this segment is about bodacious tatas and Coach Tang's nickname. The Cougars literally play tonight. The Longhorns literally play tonight for a chance to meet each other and go to the Final Four. And our opening segment, and it wasn't planned, obviously, is bodacious and Coach Tang are the headliners. We hadn't talked about the incredible Gonzaga game that kept me awake.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
what about that shot?
I just wanted to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then
but
I
how
was
could
like,
you go
and they
to
kept
sleep?
Pulling me in. Or Noel trying to
Holy
blow the entire
crap.
Game or win the entire game for Kansas State simultaneously. No. He's either doing things at Kansas State to win the game or lose the game. No. There was no in between. Just I'm not saying the whole night was great for basketball, but because Arkansas got smoked, but so our first segment is in the books. I think we got that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got what we needed to. But it is true. The phrase bodacious, for whatever reason, it stopped at a generation. Yeah. I think Generation X.
Apparently,
I think
Poon
millennials.
Has
no, Poon is, yeah. I think for whatever reason.
But that's still.
But I think once you hit millennials, I think that's where probably bodacious stopped. And I guess it is from a movie. I don't know where it came from. You just know it. And there's no internet when we were growing up. There was no TikTok. There was no Chinese government collecting all the data on TikTok on us. There is no Instagram reels. You just knew stuff. I don't know how it passed.
I don't know.
I don't know how we knew things.
Was that an Officer and a Gentleman? I don't know. I don't know.
I guess so.
Like it must have been. Must have been. That's how it made the rounds. 713 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great start. But actually, we will talk about the tournament games yesterday. We also got a lot to talk about with Bryce Young and the way that the Texans have approached this thing. We will do that on the other side. But first, let's talk about your prostate. You know, if you're getting up in the middle of the night a bunch, if you can't hold it, if you can't stop, if you feel like you're not emptying your bladder, all of these things are signs that perhaps you have some kind of enlarged prostate issue. And that's, you know what? it's not a big deal anymore. Now, a cancerous prostate, that Doc Manavese is going to take an MRI. She's going to make sure that she looks at everything. She's going to make sure that it's not cancerous, that's your problem with your prostate. She's going to make sure that it's just enlarged. And that's natural. When you get older, if you're 50, 40, 50, 60, 70, there's a chance that you're going to have an enlarged prostate. Well, that's okay, though, because Doc Manavese has a process that is unbelievable, unbelievably easy and unbelievably painless, and it's the only way to go. If you have an enlarged prostate, go see her. Check it out. It can be dangerous if you don't get it checked out. It can be dangerous if you let it go. But here's the deal. An IV is all it takes for you to not have an enlarged prostate anymore. If you think that you might have an enlarged prostate, 975prostate.com, 975prostate.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.
Hey, guys. SiteJab is a company that handles all of your website design needs. But website design, I mean, I think that really cuts short what they're able to do for you. SiteJab has been in business for, man, over 20 years, and they've been here in the Houston area. And when you go to the website, sitejab.com, you'll see a work with us and let's meet buttons that you can click and, you know, and get started on the process of getting them to start the consultations. But what is really important for me is that you see that they handle marketing, like branding and identity, lead generation, business consulting, professional video production, social media management. They have custom websites, they have finance websites, e-commerce websites. There's so much that they're doing for you. It's so much more than just building the website out. You'll get on the website and you'll realize, wow, they can really help grow our business. They can help us bring more eyes to the site. And of course, with the website, their entire job is to make it an interactive showcase for you so that you convert those eyes into business leads. And that's what they're doing at SiteJab. Go to sitejab.com, SiteJab.com, and see how SiteJab can really take your business to the next level. Certainly your website to the next level, but they'll really take your business to the next level. Building websites and creating leads since 1998. It's sitejab.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, it's 718 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here. Let's go. Jackie says it's Bodacious Set.
Yeah. Jackie grew up here also.
Yeah, but
that's, wait a minute.
That's
unnecessary. Did you not watch?
Oh, here it is. Here, I'm going to send it to you, Sean, and you can play it. Okay, I'll send it to you. I'll.
Hey, Captain Ron, come here for a second.
Direct
We're on the
message.
Air. Watch here. Okay. Just come stand right here on this microphone. Come here, right we're going to ask you a question. That's right. You don't even.
If I say bodacious, what do you say?
Sweet. Do you know what bodacious? What we say with bodacious?
What's bodacious?
Right.
We're just saying
what
bodacious.
Do you say? What comes after bodacious?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Oh. How do you not know?
Where are you from?
Grow up?
Where'd you grow
Southern
up?
California.
That makes sense.
Why do you guys say? What do you say after bodacious?
Tatas. It's immediately, yeah. If you say the word bodacious, tatas. Tatas.
Not taters. No, you know what he's saying, yeah. Bodacious no. Set of tatas.
Yeah.
That's okay. Somehow we just know this.
Yeah.
As kids, we were taught this, no matter the state, maybe in Southern California, it didn't make it there.
No, it didn't make it there.
Yeah. That's wild. I thought you would just know that.
Everybody.
I know you're from, I think I did know you're from Southern California. That's wild that Captain Ron doesn't know bodacious set of tatas.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've heard the phrase, but that's not the first thing that comes to mind.
Sean.
What comes to mind then when you hear – no one says bodacious anymore.
You just say bodacious. Well, no one says it anymore.
Yeah,
but back in the
day,
it was
died.
Just, yeah, the word's dead.
The word is a dead word. I don't understand how it's a dead word.
It should be taken out of the dictionary.
No, it shouldn't be taken out of the dictionary.
No.
We should revive it. Of course, this doesn't feel like the type of society that would really appreciate the phrase – bodacious
the set of tatas. No.
I don't feel like that would be something that would feel like an empowering commentary.
No.
This doesn't feel like we're in the middle of that movement, per se.
I'm sending this to Sean, and we can play it, okay? Mm-hmm. We're gonna
play it. So this is starting to take over the show, as it should.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, as you say, a holiday show.
It is. It basically is. Every Friday is a holiday show. 713-780-3776. I sent it to ESPN 97.5. So last night, holy crap, Strother's shot from the – he was basically still on the logo.
So somehow – we got to say what this is. So for much of the game, UCLA's got a lead, a comfortable lead, more than 10 points. Then they go – Gonzaga goes on a run, and UCLA can't score a basket. They didn't score a basket for right at about 10 minutes they didn't have. Now, they made some free throws, but they didn't make any field goals for about 10 minutes. And Gonzaga took a lead. They went from being down 10. They slowly chipped away. Before you knew it, they had a lead. Before you knew it, the lead was up to, what, 8 points? And there was just a little bit more than a minute, like a minute 14 left. They had an 8-point lead. It's like, this is over. And I even said out loud with my mouth, this is over.
No,
this is over. Yeah, I didn't say the other thing. But I said, this is over, because I'm now super, super, superstitious because it happened again to me when I said another phrase. But I'm not going to say it because...
What was it? Dagger or...
Close.
Yeah.
Close.
Murder. No, whatever it is.
In 96, I did it, and it cost me, and then it cost me again last weekend. So I'm not going to say the phrase anymore because I am superstitious, and I know it's literally the jinxiest phrase ever. But this is a pretty jinxy one when you say... This game is over. I said, this game is over. I'm just going to turn the channel. And my daughter, who's awake with me watching, goes, no, leave it here. Let's see what happens. So we're watching. And, of course, here they come. UCLA, clip, clip, clip. Missed free throws from Gonzaga.
Well, they went on a 14-3 run.
Exactly. And before you knew it, they were down. Like I said, they're down 8 with a little bit more than a minute to go. Before you know it, with about 14 seconds, 12 seconds to go, they've taken a 1-point lead. It was going to be one of the greatest collapses in history. And part of it was because Drew Timmy, who was phenomenal, missed 2 free throws. He was a guy who shoots in the 60% range during the season. He misses 2 free throws. They go down. They score. They take a lead. And then the play that's designed, and Mark Few even said after the game, well, it was designed to get the ball in Strouther's hands. And they basically had a dribble. They went length of the court. The guard dribbled down. You know, the whole – it was off a timeout. So everyone's back sitting in the – you know, sitting in defensively near the paint. And they're waiting. The guard dribbles down, then turns and throws behind him to Strouther, who is coming right behind him as like a – just allowing him to block and to kind of seal off the action. He catches it on the move from the S in March Madness – launches a 3, hits it. There's no timeouts left. And with 7 seconds, they try to go down and score real quick.
It's a 33-footer. I mean, that was holy crap. That's the play. That dude has unlimited range. If you're the coach and you say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Take it from the S. You know, once you hit the – okay.
He didn't tell him to take it from the S, but Strouther's supposed to go get the shot.
Yeah.
And he said, no, this is the shot.
This is the shot. This is the shot. I'm fine.
I'm fine.
That's Dame Lillard kind of range.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Really far, and he made the 3. In you know, he stepped into it, and he made it in rhythm, but he buried it. And then UCLA went down, got a score, and then there was a – oh, no, they didn't. It was a 1-point lead. They tried to go get a basket. The guard lost the ball. They fouled with 1.1 seconds. Made both free throws. I think it was Strouther made both free throws. It's a 3-point game with 1.1 seconds left. Joaquez throws it to half court. The guy, it's a setup play. It's kind of like the Drew, not Breeze, but Homer Drew play.
Homer Drew play.
Bryce Drew. He caught it at half court, threw to the side where the guard was running up the sideline, caught it, and launched a 3 with enough time. It would have counted. A 3 that would have won the game, and it clanged off the back of the rim. But they had a look at the basket. I mean, what an end that would have been.
Well, you're off a little bit because the final was 78-76. It wasn't a 3-point game. It was a 78-76 final.
He may have missed. He missed the first free throw, made the second one. If he had missed the second one, they wouldn't have had any chance. But the fact that he made the second free throw gave them an inbounds. It could have gotten them beat.
Yeah.
With the three-pointer.
Right, the three-pointer would have won.
They missed the first free throw, made the second one. I would have missed the second one.
I would have missed it.
Well, Strother made it 78-76. Strother made it 78-76.
With his three?
With his three, yeah. There was no more. There was no more scoring. That was it.
Wait a minute. Are you sure? Because they made the free. How did they get the ball with 1.1 then? It was a made free throw.
Yeah.
They were discussing that, and that could not be the case. Because there was a made free throw. There was discussion on the broadcast about whether or not to miss a free throw. He missed the first one. He made the second one. Is what happened. And then they had 1.1 to throw the inbounds because I would have missed the second one because they had no timeouts. They wouldn't have been able to launch it length of the floor.
Whatever.
I'll take my chance.
Yeah, whatever the case may be. It's a win, and Gonzaga advances. UCLA, good basketball team. They're out. Gonzaga, as a three seed now, has a chance to do what Gonzaga hasn't been able to do ever as a one seed. This is the eighth straight Sweet 16 for Gonzaga. Oh, no, 79-76. You're right. 79-76 was the final. That 1 point. You're right. That free throw did make it 79-76. So Gonzaga moves on. I want to tell you, if Drew Timmy was unbelievable, he was awesome, but the night belonged to Marquise Noel.
Mm.
Holy crap. He set an NCAA tournament record with
19 assists.
And one of them, how about he lulled the D? He and the coach, I don't
think it was intentional.
It wasn't planned.
I don't think it was
intentional. The coach is yelling at
he's trying to set up a play.
Set up a play, and then finally just goes, whatever.
Now, Marquise is like 34 feet from the basket. It's not like he's close.
No,
either.
Marquise is standing out well above the top of the key. The coaches, they're talking back and forth and back
Marquise
and forth.
Marquise isn't happy with something.
Yeah, and the coach wasn't happy either. They're talking back and forth, about, you know, shouting to each other on the court. And then all of a sudden, as the coach just goes, whatever, do whatever you want, he throws up a lob pass and a dunk that was like...
He caught it in perfect rhythm. He threw a perfect... It's almost like he just caught the eye of the defender, knew his guy was asleep. And
yeah,
you knew the guy who was sitting there, who got the dunk, he was waiting to backdoor this guy from the wing. And as soon as he caught the eye, he took off. And it's almost like, matter of fact, like he threw a perfect lob, caught it, reverse dunked it in rhythm. It was unbelievable.
Wow. That is just, I mean, Kent State's dangerous now. Kansas State, it'll be interesting. This
Kent
Elite
State
eight.
Is dangerous. And Ish Mahmood or whatever can shoot from three. He was draining threes as well. That is a scrappy, tough team, but they're playing. They're going to play against
UConn.
That's going to be a good matchup because they're not playing around. UConn smashed Arkansas. UConn is not messing around.
From the get-go. And that's the team that beat Kansas. So that, you know, Arkansas is a pretty good basketball team. And it wasn't even a game. It wasn't a game for it was 44-27.
Hang on. No. They got FAU, don't they?
They have FAU?
Yeah. Oh. KSU has FAU.
Who's UConn?
Because UConn's got Gonzaga.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was murderer's row.
Well, listen, FAU, too. How about this team? You know, buddies of mine, we were playing yesterday, and they go, oh, man, you got to take, FAU?
Tennessee.
Tennessee. They're what? Like, oh, Tennessee. You go. This is Tennessee after they roll Duke. It's like, well, here's the thing. I mean, I was hearing commentary from people all week long, and they were like, you know, Tennessee, really good defensive team. They really, really don't shoot like they did against Duke. They really don't shoot like that.
Right.
So that might have been that they really might have shot their wad against Duke. Mm-hmm. They really may have put everything. They played the perfect game against Duke. They might not have that in them again. And you know what? It was now they led the whole game, and FAU came back at the end. But FAU is a good basketball team. FAU, they could ruin this Final Four. FAU could ruin the Final Four.
Mm,
this could be the George Mason.
No, they're really, I'll tell you, yeah, but they could go deep. Like, FAU is a legitimate team. They're a good
team. Legit. Yeah, they're legit. I remember when the selection show was on, they were the guys in the studio were like, hey, man, don't sleep on FAU.
Yeah, it's a dangerous team. I think they were favored in the first week. FAU, if I remember correctly, they were favored in the 9-8 also. They're a 9, and they were favored in that 9-8 matchup. So, yeah, it's you've got the possibility of a 3 or – so Gonzaga, UConn is going to be a 3 or a 4 gets through. KSU is a 3. FAU is a 9. And then we've got the matchups tonight, which are going to be, I'm really excited about watching the Cougs play and the Longhorns. But I mean, really, you know, the Cougs, I can't wait to see which team shows up.
What about FAU having a run? FAU had Lane Kiffin as their head coach. Now they got Tom Herman.
Oh, yeah, they do, don't they?
How about that? Now, and this basketball team, FAU must be a really nice place, a very attractive place for athletes to go.
Yeah, it must be, because they really get some. And they've had FAU, you know, Florida and Lane Atlantic, Kiffin, if I remember correctly, that's Devin, our new running back, Devin Singletary, was Florida Atlantic.
He was a Florida Atlantic guy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the FAU's on quite the run. FAU could be a...
So tonight you have SDSU versus Alabama. That's going to be on WTBS. That's going to be on TBS at 5:30. So remember, it's a 5:30 start. That's what, they got me with the early start yesterday. Then you've got Houston versus what game are we missing here? You got Houston versus Miami, which is the Cougs play
6:15.
On CBS at 6:15. Then you've got Xavier versus Texas 2 versus 3 at 8:45. But there's a game that's missing. Who does Princeton play?
Yeah, they play the last game.
Oh, they don't have it out here on the ESPN scoreboard.
Yeah.
Who does Princeton play?
Princeton plays
Sean, do you marry a
Creighton.
Creighton. Creighton?
Yeah, Princeton Creighton.
We don't care about that game.
What do you mean we don't care about that game? What are you talking about?
8 o'clock on TBS.
They play the winner of Alabama's got one of the easiest runs that I've ever seen.
In history. And Alabama was only like, Alabama is minus 350. The Cougs are minus 340. What could the Cougs have to get through versus what Alabama? I was listening to Joe Fortenbaugh yesterday. He was like, man, he's in Vegas and he does a lot of, he's like, dude, why would you bet the Cougs at minus 350 or 340 when you've got Alabama minus 350 and just, the road that they've got to the final, to the final game?
Like, that's a true upset. If Houston gets beat by somebody, it's not a crazy upset.
Yeah.
If you know, by Texas or tonight. If Alabama gets beat by a SDSU or Princeton or Creighton, those are upsets.
Yeah.
It's a big upset if they don't get through.
And then not only that, but the other bracket that they've got to get through is easier as well. And at the Final Four, that's easier too, mm-hmm. to get to the final game. But Brandon Miller's groin is an issue.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, they don't need him to score. They don't need him to score any points.
Well, What about our guy's groin?
Well, I know. Brandon Miller came here to the University of Houston, didn't score a point, and Alabama won the game here at Houston.
So Houston,
Brandon Miller didn't score a point in their first game, and they won. They don't need Brandon Miller.
Houston's a 7.5 point favorite today, and they're plus one. They're pick 'em to win their region. Texas is 2-1, Xavier 5.5-1, and then Miami, Florida 7-1. But Alabama right now is minus 140 to win their region. It's still like... That's it.
Wow. All right. 713-780-3776. Speaking of Alabama, we'll talk about their pro day yesterday. But first, Lance has got to talk a little tequila.
Yeah, let's talk about Maestro Dobell. And Maestro Dobell has made so many people happy. There's so many people who... I just had another convert yesterday reach out to me. And they're on the Cristalino called the Diamante. The Cristalino, in case you didn't know, is a category that Maestro Dobell created. And they created it by blending three different tequilas, charcoal filtering it for where there's a clarity of color, and then they age it. And the process, what it creates is basically, it's not just the aesthetics, but it's a flavor profile that has a little bit of sweetness on the end. With all tequila, with all the Maestro Dobells, you're going to have a sipping tequila that never has a burn, always a smooth tequila going down, and it tastes great. If you've never really taken the time to sip a top-quality tequila like Maestro Dobell, you really should. You absolutely should, so you can see the difference. You'll taste the difference. I promise you that. Now, whether you're making cocktails, margaritas, whatever the case may be, with Reposada, the Añejo, the Añejo Extra, the Smoked Silver or the Silver, or even the Cristalino, the Diamante, you're going to find something that really is going to make you happy. And that's what Maestro Dobell sets out to do. Maestro Dobell, wherever fine liquors are sold, it's Maestro Dobell.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955. We had Carlos Silva on yesterday, and he was talking about how, you know, just paying the attention, the attentiveness that they give you when you are a client, how easy it is, the evaluation. You're going to get a free consultation on whatever issue that you have. If you have issues, whatever they are, criminally or civilly, my friends, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. We had I've sent a few people to them now. I mean, personally, I sent them over there, and they couldn't be more attentive, and they're going to give you the representation that you need. No matter what the issue is that you have, they have experience. The amount of experience that these lawyers have and the stuff that they're doing every single day, this is the place that you call. You don't have a lawyer on retainer. You have the Morley Law Firm. Make the call, Morley Law, whatever problem that you are having right now, and it's a problem. If you have a problem right now, make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955, and they can help you out with all of their services. 713-839-9955 or MorleyLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Bryce Young is there. Bryce Young yesterday threw at the combine. Didn't get weighed.
Didn't get measured. Threw at his pro day. Hmm? Yeah, didn't throw at his combine.
Didn't. I'm sorry. It was his pro day yesterday. Yeah. And he didn't get weighed. He didn't get measured.
No.
He said, you know what? I did that. Been there, done that. I don't need that. I don't need that stuff in my life no more. That's a little worrisome that he wouldn't have done again. He had a lot of water weight on him when he weighed.
Yeah, but did you
204?
Are you thinking he's 204?
He's not.
So 204. It doesn't matter.
He's not 204.
I mean, it really doesn't matter. I told you exactly how this would go down back in whatever it was, early February. He was going to get to 200 pounds. He wasn't going to throw. Then he would go to his pro day. He'd throw, and he wasn't going to weigh. This is obvious. That's what I would have done. That's what I would have. Bryce, just get to a number at the combine, and that number's done. He shouldn't weigh again. Don't weigh again. Don't put any doubt in anyone's mind by being under 200 pounds. You're the same. You are what you are. It isn't going to matter. Does it matter to you that he didn't weigh? I don't care. No. I don't buy the 204 anyway. So
no. Well, so, Nick Saban had a point. He said, "Hey, he went through an SEC schedule. You think there are not a lot of big guys in the SEC?"
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and
not just one year.
Now the Panthers sent their whole delegation. They had dinner with him. They got to know him. I don't know what the Panthers are doing. I'm not sure who. Listen, from reports, there are differences in the organization as to who they should draft. We heard Josh McCown. We've heard Josh McCown talk about C.J. Stroud. He thinks he's Joe Burrow. He's that kind of player. And we've heard that Tepper likes Bryce Young, while the coach, Frank Reich, is a C.J. Stroud guy. Who knows? Who knows? There's a lot of smoke screen going on. Are you a little surprised that Nick Caserio wasn't at either of the guys' pro days?
No.
He's not a pro day guy.
Well, he used to be when he was Belichick's right-hand man. But no, I think he doesn't want to give away anything. And so the one I'm telling you, the one concern I would have is I do believe that you're going to hear Carolina now. The whispers are going to start being, hey, there's, you know, they'll use the owner. They'll say Tepper really likes Bryce Young, really likes Bryce Young. And this is something, it's going to be interesting to see who wins that dynamic. The fact is they're probably C.J. Stroud, but they really want Bryce Young. And what they're going to try to do is coax the Texans to give them a pick, 33rd pick, give them a pick, and you can go get Bryce Young. So it would look weird. Like if you're Nick Caserio, you got to go to both pro days. And what Nick Caserio is basically the guy wearing the sunglasses at the poker table. And he's like, how about this? How about I don't go to either one of them?
Yeah.
And Houston had no content. They had no head coach, no general manager.
No. James Lipford and John Richer were both there.
Yeah. And Lipford is their head of scouting.
College scouting, Lipford, and national scout, John Richer. That was it. Yeah, the Texans just said, we're not going to play this pro day game.
We're not going to give you any because we're not going to let you try to bully us into a pick. Probably especially after Ryan Poles told Monday Morning Quarterback that in case you guys missed this, Ryan Poles told Monday Morning Quarterback on a podcast that the Texans offered next year's first, which I didn't know if that's considered out of pocket to mention what another team did, but he said, yeah, the Texans offered to move up next year's first, mm-hmm. to move up to that spot. And we got a better offer.
Which would have made people's head explode. Oh,
it would have made my head explode.
Yeah.
I mean, I was okay with the idea. I didn't love it, but I was okay with the Texans giving up the 33rd. It's expensive, but you control your own destiny. And I just happen to think Bryce is much safer than C.J. Stroud. I think his floor is much higher than C.J. Stroud's floor. But a future first tells you that they really want somebody. And so now that that has been... Now that that's been discussed publicly, now that that's publicly out there, Nick is going to put a wet blanket on any, you know, he doesn't want Carolina trying to bully him into moving up for a pick.
Well, and it's a good move by the Panthers. The Panthers were all in on C.J. Stroud 2 days ago. They were all in on Bryce Young yesterday. So it's a really, really good move. It's smart. It's smart football,
it is.
What the Panthers are playing right now. Especially with all they gave up for that number one
pick. Just want, if they could get the 33rd pick back or a future first back, if they could get that back after moving up and still get the guy they want and potentially C.J. Stroud, why would they not
do that? Listen, this roster, though, that Nick Casario's putting together, you know, it's going to be – they're not going to lose that many spots if they give up the first next year. They're going to be drafting 28th or 29th next year.
Well, with Denzel Perryman and Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. That's right. And Bryce Young. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just so you know, that's right.
You're going to drive for five again? Are we in? Are they going to break just when you're out, they pull you back in? For 6.5?
If it's 4.5 next year, I'm doing it again.
I could see it going 5.5 this year, going to 6.
I could see at least 6 this year. Yeah. With these additions, absolutely. It's going to be higher than 4.5. For those of you who don't know, they're under over on wins.
I think it'll
last year was 4.5, and I bet on them to win more than 4.5 games, and I was wrong.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Said there's no way betting they aren't better than last year.
Betting the over on Texans wins, I think, is the smartest bet that you can
make. It feels smart.
Yeah.
So if they're going to make it 5.5 next year, you got to get to 6.
I got to get 6 wins.
It just feels easy, doesn't it, John? It's 3-card Monte. Okay. Where's the queen? Oh, that's easy. It's right there. Okay. We'll put money down then.
No, I'm not.
You literally got 3-card Monte in the streets. It's like the Texans. It's like Vegas was a street hustler.
Yeah.
Las Vegas said, "Man, follow the Texans logo. Here we go." Or it's the Goya beans. All the Goya beans are easier to follow than for you. And you're like, "Okay, here's the Texan. You see it? Here's the card. Okay, boom, 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 boom. Okay, over under 4.5 wins. What do you got? Oh, easy 5. Easy,
easy.
Loser. they pick up the card. Loser.
Three.
Give me that money. It's 3. All right, what do you got? 3, 4, 5. Here's a 3. Here's a 4. Here's a 5.
Right.
Here we go. 3, 4, 5. And where's the... And there's 5. The 5 again. All right, show me where the 5 is. There, wrong 3. 3 again. 4. That was last year's Monty. The year before. It's 4 this year. 3. Loser.
Next year, 6. We got 6?
You got 6? Where do you think 6 is? Show me the 6, John.
Yeah.
Run 5.
Wrong. 744
5, is. Bryce Young got hurt in the third week. 5.
Whoa, God. What is wrong with you?
I'm just thinking of a way that you would lose, that the Texans will make you lose again.
I don't think Bryce Young has to get hurt for them to lose 12 games next year.
Now you're talking some sense. Although they're going to be better this next year.
Are they?
You know what? Honestly, no. I'm going to say this with 100% confidence. I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm confident when I say this. The Texans are going to be much better next year. It's going to be a much better experience in the stadium. They're going to be much more competitive. In the first 8 games, they're going to get off to maybe a 3-5, which is, you know, the road to 6 or 7.
We don't even know what
the
schedule is yet.
Does it matter?
Yes. Yes, it matters greatly. Last year's schedule was one of the easiest to begin with, and they were terrible.
What about that tie?
That was the worst. 7:45. Okay, we're taking a break. What we're going to talk about now is golf. Actually, I do want to talk some golf today. Thank you very much. Yes, Art, we're going to talk some golf today. It was unbelievable. And here's the deal. Listen, can you hit it far? Well, we'll see. Let's go to T-Box Texas. Let's go to T-Box Texas and go to TboxTexas.com and see for yourself what this they have all of these different simulators in there where you can play. There's eight different bays where you can play any of 100-plus courses. It is just – I love it. I do. And today's going to rain. What are you going to play today? Well, we're going to play at T-Box Texas. Go to T-Box Texas and see for yourself, tboxtexas.com, and see for yourself. Get down to League City. I did it from the Galleria. It took me like, I don't know, 35 minutes to get there. It was easy. It's simple. Doesn't matter where you are. You want to play golf? You'll drive to play golf. Oh, people will drive to play golf. But listen, if you're looking for a great place to play, get your drink on. You can watch your games. Go watch the Cougs there tonight at 6:15 and play on the simulator while you're watching the game. Bring people. There's couches there where the ladies, if they don't want to play, or the guys that don't want to play, they can watch, and everybody's having a drink, everybody's watching games, everybody's having a good time at T-Box Texas. Look, if you're looking for a great place to play, get your golf on when you can't at night or rain or cold or hot, tboxtexas.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Did you see that bodacious set of tatas?
Well, okay. That was it? I mean, no context, Sean? That's it?
Do you need context?
Well, I mean...
No, it's a bodacious set of tatas. It was a man doing push-ups. He saw a bodacious set of tatas.
See, it is bodacious set of tatas. It didn't make it all the way up there to Chicago where you're from.
Yeah, we shortened it.
Got
we,
the edited version.
Well, no. We didn't get the edited. That was from an officer and a gentleman. We have to give them credit since we played their movie on our air. An officer and a gentleman, which is about 40 years old. A movie that's 40 years old. And... well, we condensed it to make it more economical. It's true. Just bodacious tatas.
True.
Right?
True.
While you guys continued with the long version, the English version. Mm-hmm. We Americanized it. Mm-hmm. Okay, you said bodacious set of tatas. We
that's not how we said it.
Bodacious tatas.
In Richmond, Texas, that's not how we said it.
So Greg McElroy was on his podcast. It's called Always College Football. Here's what he had to say. How much will Jimbo Fisher meddle in what Bobby Petrino wants to do offensively? I don't think he's going to meddle that much, to be honest with you. I think you go out, you hire a guy like Bobby Petrino. You're not going to tell him what he can and cannot do. You might give him some advice. I see this. I see that. I want to try this. Sure, you might make some suggestions. But are you ultimately going to call a guy in that has that many skins on the wall to call plays and then not let him do his job? I have a hard time envisioning that.
So basically, it's you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of Dirk. Dirk is the boss of Dirk, is what Bobby Petrino is going to say.
Well, no. It's whether or not Jimbo, it's not that. I think Bobby Petrino might be a little bit contrite right now with everything that's going on. He took the job as offensive coordinator at UNLV until Jimbo called and said, okay, no, come here. And he said, okay. He took the job as head coach at Missouri State, which was the worst program in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he had to
wait,
get out.
You say that because...
No, it was literally the worst. It was a top, bottom four in all of college. No, it was. Dude, it was awful.
Now, you have insight.
Yeah, I have insight. Les? No, Les was the head coach of the Vikings. It's his brother that was the head coach of Missouri State.
When your son was there?
When my son was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was the worst coach I've ever... I wouldn't let him coach my... fantasy team.
Okay. You didn't let him make roster moves?
No. He was the worst coach I've ever seen at any level. I wouldn't coach. Pee wee ball. I think he would be. He would have been the worst team in the league. Anyway, Bobby Petrino, I think, has to be a bit contrite here. He's not saying I'm the boss. It's that Jimbo has to say, I've got to do something different here. And I don't know that Jimbo – I don't know Greg McElroy's right here. I don't know that Jimbo's going in there, because we saw the press conference. Hey, we're doing all. It ain't about what the scheme is. It's about, and it ain't ours. We're going to run the same things, okay? An out is an out. A curl's a curl. All of that stuff, okay? Everybody's doing the same thing. So don't tell me about this stuff. It's just about execution. That's all. That Jimbo's not going to have his hand in this offense. I don't think you're right, Greg McElroy.
Well, if he does, now I hope he doesn't. And here's why. Jimbo, one of the reasons he left LSU is because Les Miles was a meddler.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons he left LSU. And so it would be ironic if he's a meddler for his offense.
No, but he even said, hey, I got here doing what I do. Okay? This is how I got this $75 million. I got my $75 million? Being an offensive guy.
I'm going to predict that Jimbo's going to want some say-so at times, but I think for the most part he's going to stay out of it because I think Petrino will have success.
Oh, I do too. I do too. And I think if Jimbo leaves him alone, Bobby Petrino is an offensive wizard.
Mm-hmm.
He's an offensive wizard. He is really, really good at what he does.
If he leaves
him
alone.
But I don't know that Jimbo can.
We'll see. Jimbo doesn't have a lot of hay. I know Jimbo's got a buyout and all that stuff, but Jimbo's feeling the heat. Jimbo doesn't want to lose. Jimbo wants to win. Now, what you're basically asking is, does Jimbo have an ego that says, I want to win on my terms? Now, that's the question, is if that's going on. Because, that could happen. But for Jimbo's sake, I hope it's not. I hope it's about being successful. Because if they start looking good offensively, let's just face it. If they start looking good offensively, yeah, Jimbo's got the wins, but this is a Petrino joint right here. Good thing that Petrino came in. And it will have to hurt a little bit. I mean, just human nature would be, wow, look at Petrino getting all this love for the offense, and these are guys I brought in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I could see, because if the offense all of a sudden is good after the last 3 years, or at least the last 2 years, it looks like it's directly Bobby Petrino. There's no way around it. Now, you've got it. Wegeman could be your quarterback, and he could just be growing into who he's going to be. The offensive line is going to be a veteran offensive line 3 years together for the most part. It could be growing into who there's going to be. But it's going to look like Petrino, and maybe it is this, Petrino fixed the offense.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard for Jimbo. That's going to be hard for Jimbo.
That's going to be a real problem.
But as a grown man and a head coach and a leader of a team, you have to be happy. Like, if you want your players to be good teammates, right? That's what a head coach always wants. Hey, be a good teammate. Are you a good teammate? Is the team come first? Then for Jimbo Fisher, it has to be team comes first as well. And that means being a good teammate as well with Bobby Petrino and wanting him to have success so the team can have success. Mm-hmm. That's completely contrarian and hypocritical if you don't do the thing that you ask your players to do.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be a real difficult time for Jimbo. And I don't think it's going to last long. I think Petrino's going to be a one and done. Petrino's going to do well here, and he will find a spot. And I think it's going to be an uncomfortable situation. I've seen where head coaches have had to hire an offensive coordinator. It's not a good coaching room. When you're forced to hire somebody when you don't want to, Jimbo didn't want to. Jimbo is reluctant to admit that his offense has been awful.
There are websites that show stats.
Yeah. No. Listen, the facts are the facts, but doesn't mean you have to believe the facts. You have to believe them.
No. We're in a time where the facts aren't really the facts, they're your facts.
Yeah.
And maybe they're the...
Well, you're data dredging, Lance. Okay. If you think that Jimbo's offense hasn't been anything but spectacular, you're data dredging. Yeah. No, it hasn't been. And he has had to... He had to make this hire. This more than likely came from higher up. And it's going to be an uncomfortable room. I give this under over 1 year. 1 year that this is going to happen.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Because you think he'll just move on to a head coach?
Well, I don't know.
Or it'll be a
he'll move somewhere. He'll go somewhere else.
If he moves on because it doesn't work out between them, then that probably didn't go well the season, and Jimbo could be gone.
It works out very well, and he's just like, I ain't doing this no more.
Yeah, I could, but John, you're a glass half empty guy. I want to believe half full that Jimbo's going to be. Yeah, we're all in this together, and his success is my success, and my success is his success because it's the team's success.
The other day?
Yep.
Is that what you saw?
Yeah, to read between lines.
That's what
saw
you saw?
It. Yeah, I saw it.
You know, who
I'm not reading stuff in there that's not in there. You're reading stuff that's not in there.
You know who I saw yesterday? Doc Linville. He came in. He's awesome. He has done. He's also a client of his hair deal. Okay, because he's had thinning hair, but he's got it done. And he actually said around the temples is where a lot of guys it's going backwards, and he can actually frame your face. But he also said that the PRP is something that is really, really becoming popular. It's less expensive for you, and it's not. Listen. The neo-grafting, he said, I'm like one of the lower, as far as hair movers go, I'm one of the lower guys as far as price goes in the market. But PRP is a way that you don't have to get the neo-grafting, and yet the hair, it generates hair movement. He's going to do that with me and the for the back of my head, but he's also going to fill in spots for me. I'm going to do it again. It's such an easy process. It's basically painless. He's got a new medication as well that lasts like 3 days, numbs your head for 3 days where you don't have any residual effect the days after you get your neo-grafting done. This is fabulous, baby. I'm telling you here and now, I did it before where they cut you. It's the worst. You talk about your nerves hurting and the back. It was awful. This neo-grafting process is great. So if you're looking for a great way to get hair on the top of your head, 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag. Starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable. Durable. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.